This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I do want to follow up on that last story in the update because we got Kang Collects here. Our guy does a podcast about collecting. $250,000 in fake stuff. Is that typical? Is that something you got to keep your radar up for?
I think anytime you're going to buy a signature,
yeah,
I think you always have to have your antenna up.
How do you know you're not getting ripped off? I know there's authentication.
That's
stuff.
The thing. Yeah. You got to find something that's authenticated by the right service. You go through people that you would have to trust.
Yeah, I don't know the first thing about the collecting game, but Kang, is this an issue?
It's absolutely an issue. There was actually a couple in Arizona recently in the last 6 months or so, I believe, that just got. I think they're going to jail for a long time because they ran a scheme where they're selling fake autographs, and they do a great job of authenticating them, and I'm using air quotes, from reputable companies, and they're still fake. They match the numbers, they get the hologram stickers, they do all this stuff, but it's still fake. And in the end, just to let people know, when you get something authenticated, it's still just an opinion. Unless you have the actual picture or video evidence of that person or that athlete signing your item.
Is that right?
When you go through a third party, I mean, that's an opinion of an expert, you know, whether this is real or not. And so, yeah, you got to go through all the proper channels. And in the end, some of us get duped. It is what it is, unfortunately. But when there's money involved, no matter what industry you're in, there's going to be crooks. When people are looking to make money.
Have you ever been duped?
No, I don't buy a ton of autograph stuff. I keep mine to, like, it's very minimal. Like, my stuff would be, like, four or five guys that I would really want. You know what I mean? I'm not that guy that goes down early and, you know, tries to get every single person's autograph, things like that. So it wouldn't affect me. But I know, I mean, you guys know, we're in the sports industry. People yeah. love to meet their idols. They want to get signed something. And it's like meeting, a celebrity. And, you got to be careful. I mean, this is becoming more rampant every day.
Gotcha. Well, all right. So just different start there. I heard that story and wanted to follow up with it. But our guy Kang, how are you today, Scott?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
That's good. Anything exciting last night in the Gator household?
No, not terribly. You know, just watching the Pistons game. Not happy with that. Watching the national championship game actually turned out to be a pretty good game.
It was an entertaining game. You know, when you get right down to the end of a game like that, and everything's on the line, and you're talking about a whole season coming down to a handful of possessions at the end of a game, and the question is asked, do you have what it takes in this moment to make the play, to do the right thing, to execute under pressure? And Houston definitively said, no, we do not. That was, I think, the most dreadful end-of-game possessions I have ever seen. And, I mean, their last four possessions ended in four turnovers. Four turnovers. The last shot that they took with just about 2 minutes left was blocked. Houston player recovered it, rebounded the blocked shot, and proceeded to turn it over. Then a Houston player drove, turned it over. Another Houston player drove. Sharp drove. Had to go off his hip and out of bounds, or his thigh and out of bounds. And then the last possession resulted in a turnover. dare I say that Kelvin Sampson, who has had this interesting career arc of going from a guy that had success, then failed at Indiana, then got a show cause penalty against him for breaking NCAA rules, to this great return of a great reputation, like people were on board with what a great job he had done. Did all the goodwill that got built up for Kelvin Sampson go out the window in those last four possessions last night, which were dreadful?
I don't think so. I mean, you make it to the final game. I don't think so. But he has been at some pretty big institutions over his college coaching career. So it's unfortunate for him that they weren't able to close it out. But that game was, I mean, you have a 12-point lead in the second half, and then you go and start to lose that lead. And then you have it's a 48-42 game with 11:29 to go in the second half, and you don't score a single point for over 4 minutes. That's a killer, and we've seen this happen. And look, this is what college basketball is. It's like you wait for that graphic to show up. Blank has not had a field goal in the last, 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 6 minutes, whatever the case is. And to happen in a championship game for over 4 minutes in a second half, it's brutal, man. I mean, obviously it's worse if you were already down at the time, but when you have the lead and you just give it right back,
dude,
what do you say? Suboptimal?
Yeah. I just can't get over how bad their possessions were with everything on the line. Something that kind of underrated happened is early in that half, Houston kind of wasted two timeouts. They had a guy get a rebound, and he slowly started that tilt out of bounds where he's like trying to look for somebody to throw it, and he used the timeout to save a possession. It took a timeout with 12:06 to go in the second half, like so the next whistle would have been a TV timeout. They spent the last 10 minutes of that game with one timeout, and it felt like Sampson needed timeouts. He needed timeouts to draw up something good, and he had to save his one timeout for the end of the game, but he needed multiple timeouts in that second half to get, like, offensively, they were doing nothing the last 10 minutes, and I think only having that one timeout turned out to be pretty costly for Houston.
Well, he needed the guy who had the ball in his hands at the end of the game to realize this is the end of the game, have a better approach than what you were doing.
All right, which guy are you talking about?
The one who went to shoot the ball and then realized, this is going to get blocked if I do it. So
that's a pump fake waiting to happen. Also, if you look at that play.
The one where he didn't pump fake.
Yeah, there was a complete and total missed screen. If you watch that play closely, the irony is that Clayton was just chilling in the lane. Like, I felt like we were witnessing a defensive choke. A player with the clock ticking down just stopped playing, and Clayton just was standing in the lane, not guarding Sharp, and Sharp came wide open, and Jerron Roberts, who was at the top of the key, didn't set the screen. Like, if he had turned and screened, Sharp would have had a wide open three. There was all kinds of things that were going wrong for both teams in that last possession. The biggest of which might be Jerron Roberts didn't screen Clayton.
You guys are both forgetting something, though.
What's that?
Kids doing dumb stuff at end of games is what makes college sports so special.
It's true.
It's true. Right?
You didn't do that. Well, you didn't do that either,
this
coach.
Is what happens. 17 to 21-year-olds, the pressure is on, and the game is online. The bright lights, the lights are the brightest, and time's ticking, and I'm sure Kelvin Sampson drew up something better than that. And they just didn't execute. Like you said, the missed screen or whatever it is. Even defensively, the lackadaisical Clayton was all. He was actually watching the game go on for a second there.
He stopped playing.
Yeah. And this is college sports, man. Something happens at the end, or it doesn't, and they don't get a shot off.
See, now to that point, I think you can answer your question about Kelvin Sampson. It looked like he drew up the perfect play.
Yeah.
But somebody didn't execute by setting up the screen.
I mean, they would have had an Emmanuel Sharp wide open three for a championship. And look, as time goes on, how certain people just rub you the wrong way?
Yes.
Todd Golden's that guy, the Florida coach. March Madness is wildly entertaining.
We just won an Natty.
When he got up there, the comment, we were clearly the best team, college basketball team in the country.
Oh, all right.
Were you clearly? You won on, you came dangerously close to losing three times throughout this thing. Big deficit against Auburn. You came back. You won it all. Congratulations. You wear the crown. Though,
the best team, Doug, that's the team that is able to overcome those games.
Right. Well, if you were clearly the best team, why were so many games close? Was it crappy coaching? I don't know. The guy just rubs me the wrong way. Clearly the best team in America. You won March Madness. Congratulations. Even Gus Mackers are double elimination.
I think it was Kelvin Sampson after their win on Saturday. I think he said something similar like, nobody's picking us. And I'm like, dude, you're a number one seed. Yeah. Would you shut up? All you guys, I know you want to play the, we're not Duke card.
Yeah.
But enough is enough. You're in the Final Four. You're all very good basketball teams. And when you get to the final game, anything can happen. Congratulations to you guys for both having great seasons. But relax a little bit.
Yeah. I've also decided I'm actually pretty sick of Florida.
Yeah. Well,
I can, our boss, Georgia Jimmy, hates Florida. And I have to say, I'm on Georgia Jimmy's side.
I'm not a big fan. I do enjoy the spring training trips we went on. Those are fun. In March to watch spring training baseball, I'm all about it. Outside of that, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, if you want to get into the game at all last night, 248-539-9797. Florida cuts down nets. They win the national championship. It is Carson Anderson, Tigers. How about those Tigers? Took care of business against the Yankees. This Casey Mize, Scott. I don't know where they found this kid, but he's pretty good.
He's all right.
It's Carson Anderson, 97-1 the ticket. Doug Karsh, Scott the Gator Anderson. Gator?
Doug?
We probably didn't. I was gone. How much time did you and Stoney dedicate to the Tigers sending cash to the Brewers for Brewer Hickman last week?
Hicklin?
That guy.
Yeah, him?
Yeah.
We spent none time.
No?
None.
No, okay.
No. Perhaps we should have.
So Brumman Hickler has been called up.
Do not. If you're gonna mess up the name, don't mess that last name up the way you did.
Brewer Hicklin is been called up, and is it Margot? I thought I saw it somewhere. I can't find it.
I don't know if it's Margot or if it's Kreidler. I would imagine Margot probably makes more sense. But
Margot,
I don't know,
is going on the injured list according to Evan Woodbury. There it is.
Okay.
So Brewer Hicklin is now going to be a Detroit Tiger apparently today for this game against the Yankees.
Okay, well, he has he's a 29-year-old who has very little major league experience to this point in his career.
Well, defined very little.
Okay, 9 games where he's had 9 plate appearances.
I guess it depends what you mean by very little.
No hits. During that time,
look at his strikeouts.
No, I know, dude. This guy is—he strikes out a lot.
Nine career at bats at the major league level, he has struck out 8 times.
Well, at AAA Toledo this year, in 5 games, he struck out 8 times. But what he does do is play a pretty good outfield, and he's got wheels. Although he was 2-for-4 at stolen bases this year. He stole 72 bases last year in AAA for Milwaukee's affiliate in Nashville. 72 stolen bases with an on-base percentage of .363, which was 117 points higher than his batting average. So that's
okay. I think he had 44 stolen bases.
So what am I looking? I'm sorry. You're right. I was looking at RBIs. Okay. My bad. Wrong column.
He's got 2 steals this year, and he hasn't been thrown out.
Yeah, what was I was one column over to the left. My bad.
It's all right.
44 out of 49 last year in stolen bases. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Which is, in his career, he has 232 stolen bases in the minors and only caught 38 times.
Hey, man.
So he's a guy who's got an on-base percentage that's always been like 100 points higher than his average. Again, plays a decent outfield. He's got wheels. He's right-handed. So that's the option they have at Toledo right now.
Well, look, that's you know, him, who knows if he even plays. But we do know the Tigers played the New York Yankees yesterday, and they beat the New York Yankees yesterday.
But they couldn't have. They played the Yankees.
They beat the Yankees.
But the Yankees have like 25 home runs in 9 games leading up to that. They couldn't have beaten the
Yankees. But they beat the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees average 8 runs a game, so what did they give up? The 8, 9, would they win 10-9?
They won 6-2, and Casey Mize weathered some issues. I use the term weathered in all caps.
Weather. Well done.
First inning, a couple on base, gets out of it. Had a couple 1-2-3 innings that helped. Had a bad route by Margot led to the triple, but then some defense from, it was really, I guess, a Bañez that signaled to Jake Rogers about the back pick at third. They got the out there. You know, Casey Mize. Did you see a stat about the last time he won a game at Comerica Park?
I did not.
July 29th of 2021.
I'm sorry, what?
MLB had that stat. Said the last time he won a home game. I can't even. I got to go double check that. That seems unbelievable.
He's been hurt, but he made 20 starts last year, only had 2 wins. Well, I mean, this is the thing, right? Because he didn't, in 2022, he only made 2 starts all season long. In 2021, that's when he went 7-9, his first real season, his rookie season, basically.
Well, that very well may be true, but he had some interesting stuff to say after the game. Story the Birchie Kid did on our website, 971theticket.com, where he basically said the hitter's feedback is what's telling me this is going well. I respond to what the hitters, like I'm paraphrasing here. He basically said, I respond to what the hitter's feedback is. And the hitter's feedback is right now they can't hit certain pitches.
Well, you could see the frustration on their faces. They're like shaking their heads. What's going on? I mean, like the splitter, which was devastatingly good yesterday. You worry about the gription, Doug. If he's going to have enough gription.
Gription's a thing.
In the cold weather.
He was griptastic.
Apparently wasn't an issue. As much of an issue as they thought it could be. So that was good. And he's off to a dynamite start in just a couple of starts. But so far, Cy Young Award front runner Casey Mize, 2-0 on the year with a .77 earned run average.
Yeah. But, hey, man.
He's got all the stuff. It's just, can you, again, it's pitching isn't just, can I throw the ball 97 miles an hour or do I have a good curveball? You have to know how to pitch and you have to learn how to do that. And it doesn't happen from moment one, typically, you know, and he's gone through some arm issues as well. So it's nice to see that, okay, I need to throw a fastball for a strike, but I don't have to throw it over the heart of the plate. I've got control and command of this pitch to hit the corner. And then yesterday, he got some help with the home plate umpire, who was god-awful with his strike zone, particularly to right-handed hitters. If you threw the ball, you know, 8 inches outside the plate, it was called a strike.
Dude, it was cold.
Yeah. And that has no effect on your eyes. I get, look, that part I get. And for the most part, until late, it looked like the umpire was calling it the same for both teams.
Here's the quote from Casey Mize after the game. I'm trying a lot of different new stuff and changing things, but the hitters are going to tell me what's going to stick. And I like what the hitters are telling me so far. We've tweeted out the story. If you want to link it, more answers as to why Casey Mize looks like a different guy. Story the Birchie Kid did on our website, 971theticket.com. Follow the link at Doug and Gator 971, but he does look like a different guy, and it's incredibly useful, obviously, to get the most out of the resource that is a 1-1 pick. But hey, man, it's there's a lot that went right yesterday, and we will get into it, including, remember yesterday I said I didn't hate Duke as much as I used to hate Duke?
Right.
I think it might be going on here in Detroit. I'll explain today at 10:31. Your phone calls and feedback, Tiger fans, this team is 5-1 since the Dodger series. 5-1 since the Dodger series. And dare I say, out of all the 6-4 teams I've ever seen, Scott, this is my favorite.
Okay.
It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, is your garage door suddenly not working? Well, count on Precision Garage Door Service to answer your call 24/7 and schedule a repair appointment. That's right. You give them a call at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or more importantly, go to their website at precisiondoormi.com, and you can schedule an appointment at a time that works for you. I've had Precision come over to my house a couple times, one just for maintenance and repairs, and they did the job quickly and perfectly. I couldn't be happier with it. And then later on, years down the road, I needed new garage doors, and you guessed it, I called Precision. Why? They're the best in the business, period. Give them a call today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, and they're going to waive your service fee if you mention 97.1 The Ticket. Again, or you can visit the website and book a time that works for you, not just the window that's going to work for them, at precisiondoormi.com.
Again, we've tweeted out a link to a story about Casey Mize, some answers as to what the difference is. Here's another quote that I really like. It's really positive, especially against one of the best offensive teams in baseball right now. You just start getting some funky swings and swing and miss. That's what I mean by the hitters telling me things are good, where it's not always the foul ball that they just missed. You know when guys are on stuff or not. So I like their feedback so far. We like it too. We like it too, Casey, and boy, it was great what he did against the Mariners. Sure, this was the Yankees. They went up there with all their torpedo bats and stuff and still couldn't get through on Casey Mize. And it wasn't a thing of, it wasn't like the game was perfect, but they beat the Yankees in what is a more important win than any of the Dodgers' losses were, because it's supposed to be the best team in the American League, right? I mean, this is the ones, these are the games against your immediate rivals in the AL that are trying to keep you from going to the World Series, making it, advancing into playoffs. I think this team is a division championship caliber team. And so, yep, I've seen little this season, including the Dodger series, that has moved me off that feeling.
I agree with you. I think this is the division champion we're looking at, and it's not because they won the game yesterday. It just helps to validate what I'm thinking. Things could obviously change with injuries and whatnot, but I just think that the way that this team is constructed right now, and knowing that they're going to get guys back like Parker Meadows, which would be huge, I think it's just going to go their way. I don't know if Torkelson's going to be the guy we've seen through the first 9 games. He took an 0-for last night, but is he going to be more consistent at the plate? I would think he is going to be more consistent. But like we said yesterday, I think he's going to be somewhere in the middle of this hot start you saw and the player that we saw, finish the year last year. I think Torkelson's going to be a way above average OPS guy, somewhere in a 750 to 800 range, I would hope. And if it's above that, that's just bonus, right? But, if average OPS throughout the league last year, I think it was 715, something like that, I would expect that he's going to be way better than that. And he needs to be, because it's a position, when you're playing first base or DH, it's a position of power. You have got to provide that. And if he's not able to, then he's not going to be here. But it's been a nice start so far. And even in his strikeout at bats, you can take some good from it and say those were good swings, or he had a good eye at the plate, fouled a pitch off that looked like he got a pretty good piece of it. Whatever you want to say to encourage yourself. But it doesn't look like it's complete, failure at the plate like we saw last year.
I've been repetitive on this. I want to see what he looks like after every 0-4. Like, it goes 0-for-4. Yeah. What do you do? I hope he's in the lineup today. I haven't seen today's lineup, but it is an afternoon game.
He's right-handed.
Yeah.
So. I'm sorry.
Carrasco's a right-hander, so yeah. I don't know if he will or he won't be. But anyway, what's going on with Javi Baez? Javi Baez was a name that when we brought him up on the air, pretty much any time in the last year and a half, maybe even 2 years, I don't know, it's been a long time, that when Javi Baez's name came up, it was met with hostility. But he made that play yesterday, the double play ball off Holton's glove.
Fantastic.
It was a great play. Dirk's actually called on the broadcast the best play he's ever seen. I'm like, whoa, really? It's a pretty damn good play.
I don't know if I would go that high.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. But still, I mean, Andy's really good at his job. The fact is, can Javi Baez be to everyone here in Detroit, can we work with like the Duke scale? Like, okay, you don't have to love him. We're not asking that you love him. I guess you can feel out of moving. But you got to like this version of Javi Baez better than the previous versions of Javi Baez.
I would hope so. I mean, it's early started in 10 games of the season. He's played in 7 of them. I mean, he's hit in only 3 of those games, but he had 3 hits in 2 of them, and he had 1 hit yesterday. And playing, I like seeing him at third base. I think he can play a decent third base. He's got the arm, and hopefully he can still field a position like the hot corner. But it's going to be a long process, I think, before you rope Tiger fans into the position where they're happy about it. But to your point, can we get Tiger fans to not maybe just be not so hateful of him while he's out there? Can you just tolerate
him? Well, the one thing that's going on with him is that he's playing where he's asked to play. And I get it for what he's getting paid. I'm sure it's going to be met with great criticism. He should.
Right.
But
you should.
And he should, and he is. And he's not making – he's going out and he's giving his best at third base or center field if they ask him to go out there. And, you know, he's had some more productive at-bats. Is he ever going to draw a walk? He hasn't drawn a walk yet this year.
No, he has not.
Yeah. So I give it the over under like the 20th of this month. See if he gets a walk at some point. But he's only struck out 3 times. I mean, look, it's small steps to find a sweet spot. And I guess the way I look at it with Javi Baez is not whether or not it's worth the money, because it'll never be worth the money. It's, can he help this team in any way because of the money? It's probably saved him a roster spot, because they're like, we're going to have to pay him no matter what. He's getting this money. So what can we squeeze out of the resource? And I've always said, unless there is another person, like unless he's the bottom man on the roster, which many times it felt like he was, and there's somebody at AAA or AA that can help them win now, that's what pushes it over the top, and you say it's not worth keeping him because we're trying to win now and we'll go ahead and release him and pay him to do nothing, as opposed to keeping him here and trying to squeeze something out of the resource. What they've gotten out of the resource through the 7 games he's played isn't bad.
No, it's been positive.
Help them.
I think you can say it's been positive because of the ability to play short, third, center field if need be. I know they scoffed at a lot, but I mean, when you're athletic enough to play shortstop, you can play pretty much any position, and he's showing it. And is he going to play at an all-star level? Of course not. I would never expect that. But can he be better than average defensively, particularly in the left side of the infield? I hope he can still do that. And all the while, here he is. He's been hitting a little bit. Now, he's not blasting home runs, not yet, but coming up with a timely hit there and here and there, we'll take it right now. He's not part of the problem, and this team is 6-4 to start, so that also helps out that the team is winning. If the team were losing, even if he were hitting, he'd still be catching hell, I'm sure. But they're winning, and knock on wood that this happens for a while, and he continues on his pace.
I don't even know why I'm doing this as a topic, because I always think of, and I say this very sincerely, fans can feel however they want.
Sure.
You have every right to feel however you want. I'm just telling you how I'm kind of processing Javi Baez is, can he help them in any tangible way to win baseball games? Because I think they're going to win a lot of games this year, and you don't want an empty spot on your roster, but the contract is what it is. What do you do with him, the player, now? And I mean, whatever they've done so far has been better than nothing. He's not a net zero. He's been a net positive.
Yeah. And the lineup is out for today.
Yeah.
Justin Henry Molloy will lead off and play DH. Kerry Carpenter hits second. Riley Green is hitting third. He's in center field today. Spencer Torkelson plays first base and hits cleanup.
I'm holding on.
Colt Keith is at second. Zach McKinstry is in right. Javi Baez is at third. Trey Sweeney at short. Jake Rogers is catching. So for the
no Hicklin crowd,
he's no Hicklin yet. But the outfielders, you've got with a right-handed pitcher on the mound in Carrasco, you've got Kerry Carpenter in left, Riley Green in center. Those are left-handed, and Zach McKinstry in right. So you got three left-handed hitters out there. You imagine with Hicklin as a right-handed hitter that he would not be in the lineup.
Yes, traded for cash considerations last week from the Milwaukee Brewers to Detroit. Brewer Hicklin is here because Margot is being put on the injured list.
Well, Hicklin can run.
Yes,
he so can. This is a, you know, and can play a little bit of defense. So it's a strategic move late in games, I would imagine. You know, if they change the pitcher, here comes a, you know, a left-handed pitcher that you can put him in there, or if somebody gets on base and you want a stolen base attempt or better speed on the base pass, there you go.
248-539-9797. Something else I really liked from yesterday's game. Want to get to that today at 1048. Plus your phone calls and feedback. Who's with me? Who loves this Tiger team? Who thinks they're going to do very good things this year? And the funny thing is I've been the one that's really been extraordinarily chesty. And when it was all said and done, Gator, you predicted more wins for them.
That's right.
So you are with me as well. 248-539-9797. Maybe I should put it, I'm with you.
Best 6-4 team I've ever seen.
97 won the ticket.
Hey, Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service is where you get green and stay green with Natural Way. Look, the sun is out today. It looks like it's beautiful. Yes, it's cold, but you still got to think about your lawn and how green you want it to be this summer. Call Natural Way, 888-GET-GREEN, or go to naturalwaylawn.com. And for a limited time, you purchase that full lawn program. You get free grub control, but you got to mention my name, Gator, and 97 won the ticket. You want to get green and stay green. And how about saving some green? That's what you do when you prepay. So call by the end of the month to get that early bird discount. And that offer for the complete season is absolutely fantastic. I mentioned the grub control, but it also, they're going to help control the crabgrass. You don't want to see crabgrass in the summer. You got to get that application in done early. First application is the most important for crabgrass control. So make sure you get on that schedule so you get that green lush lawn that is the envy of all of your neighbors. Natural Way uses fewer chemicals, environmentally sound practices. In fact, each lawn is assigned its own specialist. They've got certified applicators and arborists that come out to your house and custom tailor solutions specifically for your yard and home. It's a locally owned company for over 35 years, a company I've used for about a dozen years now, and they offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Give them a call today, 888-GET-GREEN, or go to naturalwaylawn.com.
Spencer Torkelson on the hill today. Excuse me. Tarek Skubal on the hill today. What the hell was that? Take two and 3-2-1. Tarek Skubal on the hill today against Carlos Carrasco, a 38-year-old journeyman. His ERA has hovered above 4 here for much of his career. And we'll see if our guy Skubal can get his first win of the season. First win of the season. It's time, I would say.
It is time. I find myself watching Tiger games against the Yankees because I have my own thoughts of not ever wanting to see Aaron Judge beat me, mm-hmm. beat my team.
Yeah.
I'm almost every time like, just walk him. Just don't do it.
Really?
And yet they were able to handle him reasonably well yesterday. I think we 1-for-3 in the game with a walk. Yeah, 1-for-3 with a walk, and he had the RBI single that he just smoked up the middle at 110 miles an hour.
Yeah, but it didn't even leave the park.
I know, right?
Yep.
Thankfully.
Yep.
They got in his kitchen, man, and then maybe they got something going. We'll see. But they were able to handle the Yankees a little bit last year. I mean, the Yankees weren't this big, bad Yankee team against the Tigers last season. Mm-hmm. So did the Tigers have a secret sauce against the Yankees? Maybe.
And all of that yesterday, this is before they called up Brewer Hicklin. 248-539-9797. Roy is on a cell, and he's on 97.1. Hello, Roy.
Morning, guys. Let me preface this by saying this is probably hangover from last year's positive feeling that I'm sure we all had, knowing we weren't supposed to be in the playoffs. But having said that, I use a different measuring stick for the first three games. We weren't supposed to win them. They're supposed to win the World Series. It's the L.A. Dodgers and the Ohtani show. Got it. If we'd have won one, that'd have been great. But after that, we're 6-1. Our pitching question marks early on have not been. We're all Casey Mize and all that. Tariq's going to be what Tariq's going to be. He's going to come in and dominate again. So even our question marks early on have been relatively answered. And with Baez on third, as long as he defends it like Aurelio Rodriguez used to, I'm good with that. We're going to have to suck that contract up until something happens. But I like the fact that the AAA Mudhens are going to be able to actually benefit the Tigers at those key moments with injuries or whatever the case may be. I have a really good feeling about this year. I'm with both of you guys. I think more wins, deeper in the playoffs, and who knows, maybe a bless you boys kind of season after all.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's been some criticism because it's so early in the year, and I get it. And I understand that people, patience in baseball is, it's the season is so long. There's so many ebbs and flows, and you just, you know, a team like this isn't one that's got so many fail safe and safety nets. They can't afford a ton of injuries. They need a lot to go right, but they have been going right for, I'm going to call it the better part of 2.5 months now, dating back to August and September of last year. And this carries over into this year. I said it, I was throwing out the data points of the Dodgers wins and losses. That to me is almost irrelevant. The only what matters is how are you doing against your immediate rivals in the division and your rivals in the American League. And if the Dodgers are our issue, that means they're our issue in the World Series. So who cares what happened? I mean, it would have been great to win a game or two in LA. I get it. And maybe it's a stark reminder that the Tigers aren't particularly close to winning a World Series because the Dodgers are still out there. But if we're really going to have that conversation, it's because the Tigers are going to play well deep into this year. And, you know, there's a lot of baseball to be played. I don't think there's any reason to shy away from what was This is a very strange relationship I think this city has with this baseball team right now. They were a playoff team last year. They added components from World Series teams. They added a starting pitcher from a World Series team. They had a starting position player from a World Series team. And this is the other thing that went right yesterday. They added a bullpen arm from a World Series team in Tommy Kahnle. For some reason, that is looked at as not doing much. But those were guys who played critical roles on teams that went to the World Series. I'm talking about Flaherty, Torres, and Kahnle. And I have to admit, I kind of did it too. And I don't know, if you think about it, what was a realistic thing to expect? Was it Juan Soto? And they did. I mean, maybe it was just people desperately wanted Bregman and thought they should have offered more money to Bregman or gone a different route. Maybe there's a free agent out there.
Santander, I think, was the name that people liked to see because of the year he had. And
but Scott, I feel like Detroit is still a little bit sleeping on this team.
I think they are too. Yep. But I feel like it's because last year was so kind of out of the blue of what they did.
I think it's processed, whether consciously or subconsciously. I think it's processed by people as a fluke.
Yeah, so it's like,
might be very subconscious.
All right, did that really happen? Are we sure that happened? And then I think the immediate go-to is, well, the division sucks. Well, not last year. Not when four of the five teams were above 500 last year and three of them made the playoffs. It's not a dog division. Now, you can say what you want about this year and the start of it. And, you know, if you're going to judge the division by a six-game start when they were all 2-4, do it at your own peril. I mean, it's obviously a long season. But I do think the Tigers have the best roster out of the teams in the division. And it will be improved, hopefully real soon, with Vierling hopefully coming back in the next few weeks and Parker Meadows, hopefully that situation rectifies itself before it's too late. And he's supposed to come back, eligible to come back on May 24th. Could use that. That'd be great.
It's got to be killing him.
You know it is, because this has been the problem with him in his career. The injuries have been an issue, and everything clicked for him last year when he got sent to the minors and figured things out at the plate. Deserved to be called up. Demanded to be called up. Frankly, with the way he was hitting, and then hits immediately, and then immediately goes on the injured list. Comes back. Doesn't miss a beat, hits 300 the rest of the season, and is an absolute catalyst for this team and a gold glove caliber center fielder, if not one of the top three center fielders in baseball. He's outstanding. They need him on this team.
So I mentioned it before the break, and I kind of mentioned it again, and that is Tommy Kahnle. Something else yesterday that went very right. He came in the ninth inning, 4-run lead. I mean, it's a comfortable lead to protect. But he got him 1-2-3 in the ninth. He threw nothing but changeups to Trent Grisham. He threw 9 changeups and 14 pitches. The ball was dancing for him. And, you know, that could be another one of these signings that in the moment in time, the way it was processed, maybe didn't get enough attention or enough love. We'll see how it plays itself out. But having him come in and close that game down yesterday was awfully nice to see. And then there's the case of Justin Henry Molloy, who started the year at AAA, but yesterday was a catalyst at the top of the lineup. Again, he's not your classic leadoff hitter. Do you remember who the Tigers traded for him?
No.
Joe Jimenez.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
And it was right after, I mean, it was one of the first things that Scott Harris did is he traded for Justin Henry Molloy. And, you know, there's no reason to be doing, you know, massive victory laps. It's not like Justin Henry Molloy is putting up monster numbers, but it seems like he comes through for this team when called upon, even if where he was asked to start the season was Toledo. Jimenez has had some decent years in Atlanta, although he has an injury and is done for the year now. But what did they give up? They gave up a bullpen piece. They got a bullpen, Scott?
Tigers have a bullpen, yep. Yeah. Yeah, but the 2 years he spent in Atlanta with a 3.04 ERA and a 2.62 ERA he had last year. Those are better years than what he ever had with Detroit. So they figured out how to use him, and that's fine.
Yep.
But I like what the Tigers have entire bullpen is like that.
Yeah, they have no issue with their bullpen. So they gave up a piece that they have easily replaced to get a useful player, a useful young bat. I don't know where Henry Molloy, I don't know where he settles in on what his role is going to be, or is he just one of these guys that's going to get 200 to 300 at-bats used in a platoon, take advantage of righty-lefty matchups, and hits cleanup for him.
I think when you get a couple guys back in the lineup, he may not be in this lineup.
Yeah, it's going to get weird. I mean, with the Margot thing now apparently hurt, I would imagine Kreidler is probably a guy that...
I would think that, if Meadows is ready to come, whenever he's ready to come back, that would take Kreidler out of it.
Yep.
But we'll see. I think there's a couple guys that can come back and can change this.
Between Torres, Kreidler, and Vierling... I guess,
keep forgetting about Torres.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about him is, by the time those guys are all ready to come back, somebody else will be hurt because that's just the way it goes.
It's baseball.
But you need multiple extra players and spare parts. It's just the way it works. But it's weird to think about, are we talking about a Tiger team that we're trying to figure out? I don't want to send him down. I don't want to designate him for assignment. Like, do they have that kind of roster where we're...
Doug, this is where I take the advice of Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. Don't fall in love with your own players.
No.
These guys are, if you're talking about the last three or four guys that are on the roster, it's okay.
It is, but if I'm telling you that, you know, Justin Henry Molloy gets sent down, I mean.
That means that whoever is being brought up is thought of as being better.
I guess, but these aren't easy decisions, I guess is my point.
No, I don't.
I don't fall in love with your own guys. That applies to when you don't want to trade them. To me, I think this is man, there's some tougher decisions than I ever would have imagined we'd have to make with this roster. That's all I'm saying.
I got you.
Yeah,
I think at the bottom of every roster in baseball, they're probably the same type of thing. That there was always some real tough decisions to make out of spring training, who makes the club and who doesn't. And I think the Tigers definitely have had that. Every team goes through it. It's not a bad problem to have. If you're dying to get somebody back, obviously somebody has to go down.
Well, Gator, I think tonight is the prime example of mathematically no, but it truly is a must win. We're talking about the Red Wings, and we will get to that today at 11:04 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.